Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this podcast whatsoever. I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. I'm just going to address the elephant in the room right now. So, y'all, if you are watching on the actual recording, hi. For those who are just listening, just the audio aspect, I'll paint the picture for you right now. It is 6 p.m. There's some street racing going on outside. I'm on my couch. I have tea to my right peripheral. And to my further right peripheral, I have my hydro flask. And honestly, guys, this was like such a sudden decision to record via like actual my face for once after, I don't know, 6 seasons of me doing this podcast. But hello, welcome. Apparently I am recording with my face now. I'm supposed to upload tomorrow and haven't done any of that. So here we are at 6 p.m. recording this. But anyways, so much going on right now. Like, this is news to me. But nonetheless, since I usually use my laptop for my actual notes of like whatever I'm prepared to talk about today, I will actually be using, my phone today. So I will be just reading the Google Doc off my phone. We're going to just go through that today. I have notes today for today's topic. You read the title. But I also don't at the same time, if that makes sense. We're just going to be talking shit. So grab your favorite drink, alcoholic or not. Grab a little snacky, you know, because right now, for those who don't know, I do live in LA. So LA native. But no, right now it's a little chilly outside. It's still winter, unfortunately. I'm waiting until this godforsaken loathe of a month and this loathe of a season ends. I'm so sick of fucking winter. It's ghetto, it's ugly. It's just not a good time. I don't recommend it, to be honest. But yeah, it's also rainy a bit today, kind of just out of nowhere. But anyways, let's just keep going. This is already long as an intro as it is, so I'll see you guys on the other side. And we're back, ladies and gents. So here we are, y'all. Here we are. So for those who don't know, and for those who might be new, hi, how are you? More importantly, I did have a break in this podcast where I didn't record for almost a year. I decided to revive it back in November of last year, 2023, same month as when I started the podcast, like pandemic days. And there will be a lot of yawning in this episode. You want to know why? Because I've been waking up early this whole week, and I will be indeed waking up early again tomorrow. So, but anyways, this is really not important. But for those who don't know, I'll be using my phone for like my notes that I have on Google Docs. Believe it or not, Google Docs is not only just for your education, it's for everything. It's my new Microsoft Word. Anyways, though, those who don't know, I've been dedicating every episode since my comeback of Nadie Preguntó to just what's going on in this world. On a more important note, I want to focus primarily, because I've been listing any new sources I find, any sources that I still go back to, any really great candidate I can follow on IG or Twitter or just any social media platform at the moment to get educated on what's going on in Palestine, the Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I added some new sources to Palestine and the Congo. So check those out. They'll be listed in the description. But I wanted to dedicate some time to read, because for those who don't know, I also dedicate my podcast to when I'm older, when I'm like 40 plus. Who knows, I'll still be doing podcast episodes by then. But I like to think of, you know, kind of a podcast as a diary for people. People like to make shits and giggles and laughs about it. Me personally, that's how I view it. I think that it'd be cool to be like 45 and talking about what I was seeing and dealing with in the world when I was 25 and just kind of go back to those times. But at the moment, for those who don't know, a man named Aaron Bushnell, I hope I'm not butchering his last name, but he was according to him, an active duty member of the United States Air Force, and he lit himself on fire, so self-immolation, in regards to the Palestinian cause for the Palestinian people. So I'd like to honestly just read his last words, read his will, so we can just kind of marinate on that. I think that he really summed up what was going on in Palestine very well, very direct to the point. No sugarcoating, and I think that's what's most important, to not sugarcoat what's going on. You see the pictures, you see the videos, you see the suffer on a daily basis, every single day, 24/7, 365 days this past. It feels like 365 days, but it's definitely way longer than October 7th, as we all know. But with that being said, I'm going to be reading Aaron Bushnell's honorary last words. So to quote Aaron Bushnell, may he rest in peace. My name is Aaron Bushnell. I am an active duty member of the United States Air Force, and I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I am about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people have been experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. His final words were free Palestine, as he, you know. Then his will is as follows. I am sorry to my brother and my friends for leaving you like this. Of course, if I was truly sorry, I wouldn't be doing this. But the machine demands blood. None of this is fair. I wish for my remains to be cremated. I do not wish for my ashes to be scattered or my remains to be buried, as my body does not belong anywhere in this world. If a time comes when Palestinians regain control of their land, and if the people native to the land would be open to the possibility, I would love for my ashes to be scattered in a free Palestine. Dude. Wow. Honestly, I think that the highlight of his, like, for me, his will, the words of, I do not wish for my ashes to be scattered or my remains to be buried, as my body does not belong anywhere in this world. This is an active duty member of the Air Force, or was, you guys. I think we all can agree he's seen some shit that we don't know, aside from how terrible humanity has been. So I think that's so impactful and also so specific, yet I also kind of understand what he's saying to a point where I'm like, I also relate. In a world full of scum, it just gets scummier. And that's one of the realest things I could ever hear from someone. And then the second is that I find it to be so honorary that he would even ask, even on his like deathbed, that he is off, he is out of the world now. In his will, he decides to even ask permission to the Palestinian people if they ever do get a free Palestine, which is what we're all waiting for, what we're all advocating for at this time. He's asking permission, which I find that's a level of respect that a lot of people don't have. Even on your deathbed and even on your last moments on earth, you still were a person of character. And I don't know, I just had to read that. I know you all have seen it, heard it, all of those words in between, but I find it to be quite honorary, and I wouldn't want to not have that in this podcast for you and I to just marinate on those words, to be present and like just hear it out loud and just not only read it to yourself, but just like kind of have a moment of us like listening together being like, oh my God, like this is very real. And these are, this is another human being, you know, like he was a human being that's seen some shit as well and just is disgusted by the state of this world. So for me, I thought it was important to add in here because you've already seen and heard his last words, his will. I just think that it'd be doing a disservice if I didn't even consider what kind of protest action he has done for the Palestinian people. So with that being said, I hope that we can take that into consideration throughout the day as you move through the life that is yours. And you should really be focused on moving through life at the moment, knowing what's going on in the world and being grateful, even if life seems hard now. I mean, what we're going to talk about today is something that there is a solution to it all, and it's all like a mind over matter thing. You read today's episode, we're going to be talking about a lot, but it does have to do with, you know, just us as people we make our own fate and we make our own lives. And we do have control over things that we are allowed to have control over. Whereas other places in the world, like the Sudan, Palestine, the Democratic Republic of Congo, they don't have that same fate. Nothing feels like a choice. Everything feels like force. So with that being said, we're going to move on to the next half of this episode, which is just the full episode. I never know how to transition out of these dedications to, you know, these three countries. But in all honesty, let's just move through life being considerate of others, having empathy, and moving through life with compassion. And that, with that being said, let's get to the episode. And we're back once again, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. So like I mentioned, I'm going to be reading the notes I took on my phone, on my Google Doc, on my phone. So I don't really know how to get into this episode. I feel like the title kind of just says enough. But for those who don't know, I'm a Gen Zer. I'm a little Gen Z. All right. And for those who don't truly know, I like to take inspiration throughout my week of what I've been dealing with, what's been on my mind. Just things I experienced in the week, like mentally speaking, or just, you know, if I'm going out a lot that week, kind of just reflecting on what I've done that week, kind of just what came to my mind during those times. And with that being said, so the inspo also from this week has been, I stumbled upon a video about the Gen Z quarter life crisis happening at the moment, as I am Gen Z. So I had to click. I will be linking all stuff I mentioned in today's episode, as I do every episode, just what I've seen, like videos that inspired me, or just sources like for Palestine, the Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo. All of that information will be down below as well in the description. But that being said, though, I saw this video by YouTuber, I want to say Tiny Say. They're private on Instagram, so I don't really know too much about them, and I never heard of their YouTube channel until I saw them on my recommended page on YouTube. I'll be linking that episode or that video as well. But nonetheless, I stumbled upon the video about the Gen Z quarter life crisis, right? And they go to explain what that looks like right now, because she quoted that she was kind of officially out of her quarter life crisis, if that makes sense. And she didn't really know how to navigate during the time she was going through it. And so with that being said, I think that what I took from that is being, you know, Gen Z, that nothing matters, dog. Nothing matters, y'all. Nothing matters, bro. Nothing matters. Like, you would think it does, but it doesn't. So let's unpack shit. Let's unpack shit. So yeah, grab your coffee, grab your tea, grab whatever you like, just a little snacky or anything along those lines, and we're going to talk. We're going to talk about what shit is going down. Like, I usually never know how long my episodes are going to be, but we'll get to it. Like I said, I have notes, like I also don't at the same time. So let's unpack shit. Let's unpack shit, okay? And it's going to be a little story time for the first one. So the economy and job market. Ah! I love talking about that shit. You want to know why? Because do I have a story for fucking you? Ooh, do I have a story? So, oh wait, why am I exiting out of the app? Like, I need to have it here. No, so, okay, this thing keeps sliding. This is a cute phone case, guys. I got it on Amazon forever ago, but I'm more of a clear phone case kind of girly. But my clear phone case turned yellow recently, so it wasn't looking too cute, so I need to get a new one. Anyways. So my first thing on my list is the economy and job market at the moment. So I'm going to tell you guys about my current experience in the job market as a Gen Zer myself. So I'm not going to say what I do for work, right? Because it doesn't matter. Two, you don't care. And three, it's not the job I want. It's just a stop on the road type of job. So with that being said, I'm going to be very vague with the details I give you, but also trying to explain what it is that is a problem. So as we all know, we know the phrase quiet quitting. It's a revolutionary term now. Apparently it's going crazy on TikTok. I don't know. It's going wild on there. I don't know. I don't have TikTok as the only Gen Zer to exist. And I honestly made that decision in the pandemic and I loved it for me. Has done nothing but great things for me, not having the app. But anyways, that being said, though, I'm going to be as vague as I possibly can. But nonetheless, let's just get to the actual only detail I will give you. It is a minimum wage job. And two, the company is also not doing well. Like, not like my location of the job is like, the overall big corporation of the job is not doing well and hasn't been for quite some time. So that being said, I think you kind of know where this is going for the most part. So in the span of a year of me being there, it was a year and like maybe a month now since January this year, 2024, I started my first day at this job in January 2023. Like midway January. And then now it is February 2024. So it's been like a month and a... No, 1 year and 1 month at this point. So I have seen four managers leave. Four managers. And how many... I'm trying to think of like who I'm thinking of, like employee-wise, who else has left in the span of a year. Mind you, a year. So mind you, I'm going to reiterate, a year has passed since I've been at this job. Four managers have left in that span of time. Second concept, I believe I want to say, for the silence, I'm actually just counting in my head right now. And I'm trying not to say the name of the people, like, as I mouth it. So, yeah, them. Yeah, I want to say, like, seven employees have left in the span of a year. And maybe a little bit more than that, actually. That's not including, like, other departments that have left. Like, other people in a different department that have left. So I think you can also use your brain a little bit as to like how bad this company is doing, at least this one location. But I've also heard other locations of like the job that I work at, you know, people quitting left and right, you know. But I'm just saying, in the span of a year, four managers of mine have left, seven plus employees or old former coworkers of mine have left. Just, you know, take that in for a second, because that's how you know shit is that bad, when people are leaving left and right. So just keep that in mind. So I say all of this because as we get into talking about the economy and the job market, highlighting emphasis on the job market as Gen Z, the term quiet quitting is not really something I need to hide anymore. Because I know that, one, I'm replaceable. All of us are. You listening at your job, they can replace you overnight. They know it. Two.
Ooh, girl.
Two. It doesn't matter what you do. If they want to fire you, they will. If they want to lay you off, oh, they will. So we all can agree that our jobs don't care about us. It's quite literally clear. And no amount of advocation and no amount of activism, no amount of essentially pizza parties is going to change the fact that employers and employees are now just transactional jobs, essentially. I come here to do a job, you pay me for it. We don't need to be best friends. We don't need to be close. We don't need to even speak outside of work, because I know we are just here to do a job. We are not here to be BFFs. And with that being said, I say all of this now because quiet quitting is not so quiet for me anymore. I'm quite obvious about it. And I say all of this information about my job that I'm currently at as to, like, you know, four managers leaving, seven plus employees leaving in the span of just a year. It is getting to a point where, if that's happening at your job, if you're listening to this right now and your job is going under, I'm talking like horrendous. Like, whatever field of job it is, it's just going horrendous. Like, people are leaving left and right. Higher ups are leaving faster than ever. I'm talking like crazy shit is going down at your job. If you're listening to this and you're like relating to me in a way at your current job, I'm here to tell you right now, quiet quit. Quiet quit. Because at the end of the day, they don't care about you. They don't care about us. So why should I put in the effort? And if you're still at this job that's still not doing well, it's like sinking and it's like going under, you are lucky that I'm still here. And you could also argue the phrase like, well, if that's the case, if that's how you feel, you can always pick up and leave. It's like, yeah, I know. But me personally, I'm speaking on just myself. My next job is going to be the big girl job that I have. I am not settling for less. I talked about this last episode. I am not settling for less than what I deserve in regards to finances, in regards to job market. I have experience with a lot of shit. I have a podcast that I'm quite proud of that I love. And on top of that, I did all of this stuff myself. My entire portfolio is all me. So for me to settle, baby girl, that's not going to happen. And my job currently is a stop along the way. It is not my destination. So you could also argue that people that don't like their jobs and they're still at a dead end job, you can also argue like, well, you can always just leave. It's like, exactly. And that's what I'm working on, girl. I actively work on that every day to get the fuck out of there. And the day that I do, I'm not even putting in 2 weeks. I'm putting in my last day will be whatever day I'm scheduled that day. If I'm at work and I decide to put in my 2 weeks, babe, my 2 weeks will not be my 2 weeks. If I have work scheduled and I'm out on my shift and I get the job that I want and I pass the interview and all that stuff, if I'm on the job and I get the email, congratulations, we'd like to offer you the position, you start whatever day. Babe, I'm putting my 2 week, quote, 2 week, huge air quotes. And let's say it happens on a Thursday. I work Friday. That would be my last day. Legally, you are not required to give a 2 week notice. You are not required. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. But my point still stands is that truly, for those who are listening that are at a shitty end, dead end job at the moment, like I am, the company is just going under. Shit is hitting the fan. Promotions are just far off, especially if you know that you're a good employee, you know that you do well at your job, whatever it is at the moment, you know for a fact shit's going to hit the fan, but you haven't had the courage to leave because you haven't found something. Best believe I'm right there with you for one. Two, don't settle for less. Three, they don't care about you, so do the bare minimum. Because at the end of the day, they don't care about us. They don't care about you. You are replaceable. We are replaceable overnight. Okay? We are replaceable overnight. And I just don't have respect for a company like that. So I say all of this. And by the way, this is my cat, guys. He's blending in because this is like brown. This couch or this cushion right here is brown. And he's like right there. Hi, buddy. He wants to be part of the pod. But anyways, guys, that's my take. That's my take. If you're at a dead end, shitty job, and promotions are not around the corner, you know you're just not going to get promoted. Nothing is going right the way you wanted it to. You were promised, you know, moving up in the company, and you're not getting that shit. Do the bare minimum at work, and on top of that, not only do the bare minimum, just don't do shit, because you were lucky that your manager, or whoever is in charge of you, is still there. You could easily not do the job, mind you. You could easily just walk out. You could easily just be like, I fuck this, I quit, you know? You can easily do that. But I'm just saying, if the company's at a dead-end job and you're there, it's on its like last straw, it's a sinking ship, don't feel so bad. Don't feel so bad. Just do the bare minimum, call it a day, and if they fire you, you collect unemployment. So that's what I'm trying. Hi, buddy. This is my son, Noche. I post him on IG and Twitter all the time. And nobody knows what he looks like, really. He's just vibing right now. He's a very expressive kitty cat. But anyways, that's my first take on the job market and economy. But let's move into more economy now. So as we all know, I don't even need to pull up any proof for you. You already know as a listener, as a viewer, and whatnot, as an audience member. I know for a fact that shit is hitting the fan in regards to economy. We all know it. You see the videos, you see the inflation, you see it all. So my point is that when I was watching this video by Tiny Say on YouTube, I noticed that she mentioned that Gen Z is kind of just like giving up a little bit in their own way. I can also remember a term that like a lot of people are using right now. It's like, what's the word? It's like not quite quitting. I don't know why that I went to that, but the term is, man, I should have written it down. I don't know. Wow, I lost my train of thought, you guys. But just like we all know inflation. I don't need to explain it to you because you already know it. You already know it. All right. Hi. Oh, he wants Ingrid. You want Ingrid? Anyways, my cat is here. If you guys hear any purring in the background. But anyways, so economy. We all know it's going to shit. We all know it. I don't believe that we're officially in a recession, but I Googled it before I started this episode and I was like, are we officially in a recession? And it's like, we're on the brink of it, but not just yet, I would say. But I want to say, I believe a lot of people that are like economists, they're like kind of like unsure. Like it's like kind of unpredictable, which is even scarier. You know, it's like, do you know how scary it kind of is for like an economist to tell you, yeah, I'm not sure, dog. I'm not really sure where we're going with this, but hopefully it works out. You know, it's like I'm a little scared for myself, low-key. Sweetie, you just wanna speak, huh? Right. Mm-hmm. He has spoken his mind via purring. Anyways, though. But yeah, do you know how scary it is for an economist to tell you, dog, I don't know, we can't really predict what's gonna happen? Like, that's kind of scary, low-key. That's kind of scary. Imagine, I don't know, I'd be kind of scared. But focusing more on the economy, I don't need to tell you what you already know. I don't need to tell you about inflation. I don't need to tell you about how everything is so expensive. I don't need to tell you about the maybe most likely impending recession, because you already know all of that information. What good is that going to do me if I tell you all that and you're like, oh my God, wait, I already know all this. What I'm telling you though right now is that I have some theories. I have some theories as to like why shit is hitting the fan in regards to the economy. Because we all can agree it was COVID, right? We all can agree that it was partly COVID's fault, or most likely all of it. Most likely COVID was like all of its fault. But yes. No, I get you. No, I understand. Right. No. Okay. Anyways, though, we all can agree that it's... My theory is that everyone is trying to make their money, right? Everyone is trying to make their money so they can, you know, eventually, whatever it means, right? Because I saw in this video with Tiny Say that Gen Z is kind of like not giving up, essentially, but they're kind of less hopeful and they're less willing to try more. Oh, don't think about that, girl. Don't do that. No. Don't jump. Don't jump over my set. Don't do that. No, don't consider that. No. Sorry, sweetie. Sorry, y'all. No, but when I was seeing this video by Tiny Say on YouTube, it was about how Gen Z... it's not exactly giving up, but like the intention is like moving towards that, like to wanting to give up a bit much more than in the past, like, because, you know, trying to push through, like keep it pushing kind of thing. But you're kind of just like, for what, essentially? If I can't afford a house, if I can barely get a job and the stuff that I want, what's the point? And I've been asking myself this a lot recently. It's like, okay, if I can't afford a house, and or at least the chance of getting a house is harder and harder, and on top of that, slimmer and slimmer by the day, right? Then what's it all for then? Then what's it all for? You know, we could all sit together and talk about it as Gen Z. We can also sit here and talk about like, oh, like what's the final product going to be? Like what's in it for us, you know?
because we've already discussed how every generation before us, boomers, Gen X, like all of them see how essentially, well, they actually don't see, to be honest. They don't really believe that it's so hard that they claim us as lazy. They claim millennials just as lazy and so on and so forth, right? But my point is that, sweetie, just sit still, damn. Just sit still, sweetie pie. Y'all hear that? I don't think the mic is picking up on it, but he was purring right into the mic, which is actually really cute. Oh, I'm such a mom. Anyways, though. But yeah. I don't know, dude. Like, I feel like nothing really matters. Like, here's the thing, though. Here's why I, like, kind of draw the line, okay? I know shit is bad. I know shit is awful right now. I'm not going to sit here and say that shit is not fucking awful in regards to the job market, the economy, and so on and so forth, right? I'm not going to disagree with y'all because it is true. It's pretty same. It's pretty shitty. And is it going to get better? I don't really know, and nor do I think so. Would I like to have some hope that it will? Sure. But I'd be a little delulu to think that. My point is that I think that the concept of I don't really dream of, labor is a little too far-fetched. It's like, okay, so I understand the frustration. Like, nothing matters, right? We can't afford a house. We can barely afford the life that we live right now. We can't even afford to just have a life, essentially. Aside from, you know, buying groceries, cooking every day, and cleaning your house or your space and whatnot, and so on and so forth, right? But the whole concept of, like, I don't really dream of labor is very unrealistic. It's like, okay, you don't dream of working. You don't dream of having anything bigger. That's okay. Not for me, though, but it's just what you want to believe. It's what you want to follow. Who am I to say you shouldn't do that, right? It has no effect on me, personally. That has nothing to do with me. Not my business. But where I am concerned about is then, like, how are you supposed to live then? Because the concept of, and another video I will be linking by a YouTuber I also just found, Amir Koro. I'll be putting his YouTube video in the description as well. But his video talks more about, like, what is the cause of Gen Z's, like, depression at the moment? And he touches about, like, so many philosophers that say very, very, like, century-old quotes in their studies and their novels and philosophy. And essentially, it's really just a mind over matter thing. To an extent. How we choose to suffer is up to us, right? As a society, us as people, it is all on us to decide if we will let things affect us or if it will not. And that's the cause of suffering. Last year, I've mentioned briefly how in 2023, I had the worst year of my life in regards to kind of almost a bit of everything. I went through a breakup. I got back into therapy. I didn't really travel anywhere. Everything kind of just felt the same. I didn't get any jobs of the jobs that I was applying for. I applied to maybe over 100 jobs. And I got none of them. I got zero of them. And mind you, they are jobs I do have, actual experience in. And for me not to get any of them is, it took a really big toll on me. But the only reason it took such a big toll on me is because I let myself suffer by complaining and crying and getting upset because that was my fault. I was blaming myself for that. That's the point I'm trying to make, is like, you are your own suffering. And it sucks to realize. I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you. It is a very hard thing to practice and be mindful of, being like, well, I need to watch what I say. And then when shit goes down, you know, shit goes south, it's like, oh, I should have known better. I should have done better. I should have, you know, been more present, whatever the problem is, and you just, like, start beating yourself up for it, right? It's like when we start blaming ourselves and thinking that we should have been there, we should have been more conscious, is like, you're allowed to feel those things, but it's a way of, like, how long will it affect you? Will it affect you for the rest of the day, or will it affect you for the rest of the year, kind of thing? And that was what was happening with me in 2023. Like, everything was making me like upset. Everything was hurting me, everything. And it felt like I was the cause of my own suffering. I will argue that. I will actually argue that. But I was the cause of my own suffering for all of 2023. I didn't really give myself like any breather room. And I'm also realizing that like where I'm sitting is like getting really uncomfortable. But anyways, though, essentially, like, we are kind of responsible for our own suffering. And this year, and towards the end of the year last year, I kind of just made a promise to myself to just kind of see the positive in everything. And man, some days are really harder than others, dog. I'm going to give you that. Some days are so brutal. It's like, I literally cried at work last time I was there. I think, when was the last time I worked? I was like, Friday. Friday was the last day I worked. I don't work weekends. So, it just sucked, dude. I hated it. I was at work, and here's the story of that. I was at work. And since my one of the people that quit this month was also a manager that quit, like my main manager, general manager, he quit. For I'm not going to get into reasons why. But long story short, just management wasn't it. He came into work and he got yelled at all the time, basically. By like higher up people in the company, right? And he got sick of that shit, which I don't blame him for. I do not blame somebody that has to come into work and deal with somebody that's a fucking menace to society, and let alone a menace to you. And so, I'm telling you, like, three people quit in the past, like, I don't know, month or so of February at my job. And my other manager that's still there, they texted me on their day off, mind you, on their day off. I was at work, they were on their day off. They text me, and they're like, I need you to do this, this, and this. I will be holding you accountable to this, this, and this when I'm back. So in my mind, I'm like, I fucking hate this job. I dread it every day that I have to go. So I'm already like, I've been feeling this way for like a couple months now, but like some days I feel it more than others is what I'm trying to get at. It's like some days I feel like it's worse, and some days I'm like, you know what? I don't fucking care. I know this isn't going to be forever, even though it feels like it is. But that day, like Friday, for some reason, I just like started sobbing. Not even because of what my manager said. It was a matter of like how much I don't like them. One, and for those who follow me on IG and for those who have me on close, or I have them on close friends, you guys know who I'm fucking talking about. And how much I loathe whoever I'm talking about right now. But my point still stands is like, I was at work on Friday, this Friday that passed. And it wasn't me getting emotional about what my manager said. I don't give a fuck. Okay. I don't give a shit. All right. It was just the way that like, I don't want to deal with this person because I don't like them in a work setting. And I'm forced to interact with them when I don't want to, which even goes to the bigger picture, the bigger umbrella is like, I just don't want to be at this fucking job anymore, but I have nowhere else to go. So what's the point of me leaving? So with that being said, that's why I started crying. I was like, that's not fair to me. Like, I've been trying and trying and trying for these, to apply for these jobs, which I have been. I applied to like a couple, like I think like four or five earlier this week. And I just hate that like I'm still waiting on a reply from these jobs, and I'm still spending that time waiting at the job I loathe because I'm desperate to get out of this place. But I'm not trying to settle, which is also very weird in the middle. It's a really hard realization that like I can't just pick up and, you know, leave. I mean, I technically can, right? I can technically go to the same job I have currently, just in somewhere else, you know, same job, but just like different, like, you know, corporation essentially. But I wouldn't be happy there either. I'd still hate it like maybe 5 months in, you know, it's not the same. It's just, I'm ready for my big girl job, one, and two, I'm ready for something bigger than myself. So I don't want to just settle for some mediocrity just because I'm having the worst hell of my life. But it's that bad, though, to the point where I'm like low key considering just like leaving just because, and going somewhere lame and just like not, I mean, and settling essentially for the time being. But then I know I will hate it in like a month or two. So there's that. But it's that I was upset and sad because I still had to deal with like this person I'm speaking about, one, and two, realizing I wouldn't have to deal with this if I just wasn't at this job anymore. If I just would have quit when that wave of people that randomly quit this month. And it sucks to realize. It really sucks to realize. And that's where I ended up like crying, and I'm also getting my period soon, so it didn't really help the cause that I was like, you know, emotional on top of that, and on top of, you know, me being already emotional by hormonal changes and stuff. I couldn't control like me crying. I tried to like get it together and whatnot, but I was already on my lunch break, and I was like already like on a 40-minute instead of a 30-minute break at this point. So I'm like, all right, you girls got to get back in there. Like, I got to figure this out. So yeah, it's one of those, you know? And I titled this Gen Z and Millennials Are Over It because it gets into my next point. Gets into my next point of this podcast. Well, I'm also here to say that I did grow up with a sister that is a millennial. She is, I believe, 35. I think. Oh, wait, sorry, y'all. I had to read the text. LOL. But anyways, I mentioned that my sister is a millennial, right? She's 35. I'm about to be 25 this year, okay? So when I say that I titled this episode for Millennials and Gen Z, Millennials and Gen Z really don't have a lot of differences. A lot of people like to separate us a lot, but we're really not that different. I don't know why there's a huge like war at battle for like, I just don't understand like the hate that Gen Z and Millennials hate and spew at each other. It's like, dog, we're not that much older and further apart in age, one, and two, why are we having the struggle Olympics? We both are going to suffer not being able to buy houses one day, and you want to sit here and be on TikTok being like, millennials be like, bitch, no, we're both not going to be able to have and afford a house. We're both going to be struggling to survive for however many months and years left because this economy is so horrendous. We're both in the job market suffering through hell when we both have degrees and experience and very well put together individuals with a lot to offer. And even if you don't have a degree, you're in the school of life. So why are we really playing the struggle Olympics when it comes to millennials and Gen Z? We both lived a recession. If anything, millennials are probably going to live two in their lifetime. The 2008 one, and then the one, or no, I believe I saw that the first recession for millennials was December of 2007 through June of 2029, or no, 2009. I don't know why I said 29, but anyways, I really don't know what the beef essentially is with like Gen Z and millennials. Like, we're not that different, like, at all. Like, we're really not that different. Like, I think we're probably the only generations together of like millennials and Gen Z that kind of have similar like shows and stuff like that. But I did see this one video of this one Gen Z that I follow, this one Gen Z like TikToker, but I just follow their IG, that they post their IG, like they post their TikTok videos on IG Reels. And so they literally had the nerve to call Hannah Montana like a millennial show. First of all, to be politically correct, my sister, who is a millennial, she only watched Hannah Montana because I was a Hannah Montana stan, still am, okay? And she would kind of watch it when I was a kid watching it. She was like already like a teenager at that point, a little bit older. And she, anytime I was watching Hannah Montana, she would just kind of watch it in the background. So she knows of it, but don't say it's a millennial thing. Very rude of you. Don't ever disrespect Hannah Montana like that. Ever. The show, you know what? I might fuck around and watch it tonight. Who knows? Okay? But nonetheless, right? My point still stands. It's like, why are we as millennials, well, not me, like, why are millennials and Gen Z spewing like hate at each other? Trying to play the struggle Olympics, like trying to be like one's trying to be better than the other. Like, dog, be fucking for real for a second. Like, let's turn our brain on. Let's like turn this on. Turn this on right now. Turn this on. Turn it on. Okay. And look me in the eye right now. Or if you're listening to this only, hear me out. We are both economically and career-wise struggling. why are we trying to spend time on the internet beefing when there is nothing to beef about? Babe, why are millennials and Gen Z beefing at each other? Bitch, go to Indeed.com. Go to LinkedIn. Do something with your life. We're both going to have to figure this shit out in regards to the job market and economy. We're all trying our best here. So why are we, you know, slandering each other in like the social media eye and saying like, I'm not Gen Z. Oh my God, I would be so embarrassed to be Gen Z. Or like millennials getting called old when they're only like, what, at most, like almost 30. Like, be fucking for real. Like, be serious for a second. Like, let's turn this on. Let's turn our brain on for a second, okay? Let's turn it on. Let's like turn that little switch. I know it's hard for you guys, some of you guys, to find it. But what is the Struggle Olympics for? What are you talking about right now? What is the flex and us both struggling as generations? Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Anyways, and also another, you know, similarity that Gen Z and millennials have is that every generation before us hates us. And I think that we can also argue that millennials were the ones that were kind of challenging the norm a little bit. And my sister, she was a cool millennial, or like a cool sister. She was the cool sister, the cool older sister, because she was like emo. She had like an emo phase. Like, she was like, she was definitely like that, like emojis, like tonight will be the night, you know, like she was into that, you know. And then she put me on like cool stuff when I was young, you know. She got me into hiking when I was like, what, like 9. She told me about like being vegan, because my sister's vegan. She told me about that when, right before veganism was trendy, okay, before being vegan was a trend, it was a lifestyle that you bitches don't practice anymore. You just do it for likes and retweets and shit. All right. Thank you. All right. My sister taught me that. Okay. My sister raised me well. All right. Older sisters are technically some form of mother. But anyways, my point still stands, is like, my sister was the coolest fucking Gen Z, or no, millennial I know. She will always be. There's no millennial that I know that's cooler than her. And it's not possible. So with that being said, it's like, she introduced me to cool shit. Like when crypto was a thing, when it first was popping and it was first getting introduced, she hopped on it and she hopped me on it. You know, it's like, that's being a real one, you know? But we're not that different. And like, millennials get so much hate. And for what, dude? Because they're mad that they can't afford a house? They were like probably the first generation to be like, oh shit, like, maybe we can't afford this shit. Maybe we can't afford life, you know? And every generation before them is like, well, you're just greedy, you're lazy, like you just don't want to work. It's like, I'm working 3 jobs already, baby, and I cannot even afford like groceries. And if you have, a lot of millennials have kids, for the most part they have kids to feed. Like, hello, let's like I said, turn this on, turn this brain of yours on for a moment. I know it's hard for some of you guys sometimes, but sometimes it's got to be turned on indefinitely for the most part. And so I personally think that millennials growing up with a millennial sister are cool as shit. And on top of that, not only are they cool as shit, they were probably the first generation to actually challenge a lot of shit that Gen Z can get away with now. Let's call it for what it is. Millennials called out a lot of shit, like the economy failing. They lived a recession long before Gen Z has. 2008. How old was I? Actually, you know what? I'm going to do the math right now. How old was my sister in the 2008, you know, recession? Hold up. 2008 minus. My sister was 20 years old, dog. Wait, no, was she? Wait, hold on. Let me see if I did the math right. Hold on. Yeah, my sister was 20 years old when the recession happened. My sister was 20 years old, freshly into the workforce, and there was a recession. Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I do not tolerate millennial slander on this page. I do not tolerate any. I will make fun of them as a joke, but not because I actually mean it. My point still stands, though. It's like, why are millennials and Gen Z, like, so against each other sometimes? It's kind of embarrassing. And I've always kind of grown with the idea that, like, millennials and Gen Z are pretty similar. So, like I said, why are we playing the Struggle Olympics? We should be helping each other. We should be helping each other, you know? Like, and that's where my next point goes, is that millennials and Gen Z are very similar, right? But I think that we're also similar to a certain extent, but I feel like more Gen Z, more than anything, is the loneliness that we feel For a long time, I've been feeling so lonely, and I've never really understood where the root of that was coming from. And I still kind of don't, but as I see these, like, you know, quarter life crisis videos on YouTube, I feel like I am in a quarter life crisis, but I have been for a long time. Like, I'm talking like I've been in a quarter life crisis since the moment I turned 20 years old, and I'm about to be 25 this year. So I say all of this because a lot of people like to think of Gen Z as getting old and expired. It's like, no, dude, I think that Gen Z really, as much as we are kind of weird and cringy sometimes, like, I think that truly, like, at least older Gen Zers that are, like, actually hitting some form of maturity, like, I would hope that we're hitting some form of maturity, like, no more situationships, no more dilly-dallying, get your fucking shit in order, you guys can do this, get a routine set up, get your fucking ass in the workout regime, gym, Pilates, whatever the fuck it is, start eating as healthy as you can. I know it's hard with groceries being so expensive, but if there's an Aldi near you, a Costco, you can make it work, we can all make this work together. And I really am a firm believer that we can fucking do this. Like, we'll probably be the generation that people admire in the future as Gen Z. That we lived in the worst of times in regards to the recession and, like, you know, economy and job market. But then we'll live to see another day. You know, we'll live to see another day, guys. Like, it's okay. Like, I know that a lot of people right now are listening to this and probably, like, you know, having the struggles of a lifetime. Working 2+ jobs, having a side hustle, having a side everything, you know? And you're able maybe to afford your life at the moment, but, you know, you can't afford a house. You can afford an apartment, you can afford some bills, you can afford all that, right? But there's really little to none left over for anything. Like, I think that the real flaw of this all is that we're going to really focus on the house aspect. Just the house aspect of millennials and Gen Z not being able to afford one is that we already know, like, we already know about, you know, inflation. That's the problem. We know that. We know. And interest rates are already through the roof. We already know that deal, and you already listening to this know that now. But what people fail to mention is if you go out and live by yourself, let's say you make enough to make, you know, to afford an apartment, a nice apartment, like maybe max 2 bedrooms, 2 baths. And on top of that, you know, the utilities, like parking and all of that stuff, groceries, like you afford all of it. You can afford to basically furnish an apartment, live in it for a whole year, a whole lease, and so on and so forth, right? Afford apartment insurance, afford all of that, right? Let's say you're able to make those ends meet. Congratulations. That's an amazing accomplishment as is. But if your goal is a house, for the most part, for a lot of people, I feel like slowly now, though, it's like kind of transitioning. I even feel myself currently that does live in my childhood house. It is a paid off house. So we just, like, my family and I just pay the taxes on this house. But nonetheless, is that it is hard to save for a house when all of your money is going into renting a place to live. Have we not thought of that? Have we not thought of that? Because how much money do you essentially have left over then if you work 2 jobs plus more? Or you get income from other things, like maybe you, like, go do DoorDash on the side, or you Uber and whatnot. Like, those side things that actually end up being, like, great, like, pocket money if you need, like, to get dinner or something like that. Or you just need to get something paid off, like you need to pay a bill or something, like your car note or something like that. I think that, you know, DoorDash and Uber and stuff like that, those, like, jobs are a great job to have, that you can kind of have your own hours, but essentially it's like good pocket money that you might need in case of an emergency kind of thing, you know? And so I think it's fascinating to me that that's the root of the issue. It's like, we make this money now. We make the money that we make at the moment, Gen Z and millennial speaking. But there's just no money left over to, one, enjoy the life that you want to live, traveling, having hobbies, like all of those things, or like working on projects that you want to aspire for, et cetera, et cetera. Not only just like money, but also time. Not having time to do those said hobbies and projects and interests and stuff like that. Not having those times and money at the same time. So how on earth are we going to get a house in this equation? We can't. That's the sad part. And that leads to just loneliness because we're so focused on working. We're so focused on getting our shit together. We're so focused on essentially like the impending doom of trying to exist and survive in life right now. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very dooming. And I'm very fortunate to say that I do live in this house. Like, I'm taking care of it. Like, I have a place to sleep at night. I have, you know, laundry I don't have to pay for. I don't have to worry about those things at the moment. And I choose to do that because I know what's out. I know it's scary out there. Why would I force myself out into the world of, like, you know, living in a rent, you know, or renting an apartment, knowing how much I won't have left over? I would literally be going through all of my savings plus the work employment that I do have. It's just not realistic, you know? It's like, it's not. Like, it's just not the way it should be. And with that, I think I'm just coming to an end with this episode. Like, all of this information that you know currently, like, you already know this. You already know that this is the life. Hold on tight. This is not the dream. Like, but we know that we can do, like, this life. We can figure this out, and we will every single time. But just some days feel harder than others. And I feel like that's a very firm theme that I've been having recently with my life, is that, like, one day I'm totally fine. One day life is good. I'm like, I know what I need to do to get to, like, where I need to be. I'm trying out here. I'm trying my best. You know, it's like, I'm trying. And that's all we really can do, right? But then other days I feel like I'm not trying enough. And it feels like it just never ends. It's like a never-ending cycle of feeling like I'm doing good versus I'm doing bad. And then the cycle keeps repeating over and over and over again for however long. And with that, I think that's where we'll leave off. Thank you guys so much for listening. I do plan to get a better camera because I'm just using my laptop camera right now. I do plan to get a better camera and microphone that I actually don't have to, like, if you guys saw the setup right now, it's just not looking cute. It's just really inconvenient. I feel really stiff sitting in this position that I have been for the past, I don't know, hour. But we'll get to that. We'll figure it out. And so with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening or watching, you know. But I will say that, you know, we will figure this out and we need each other. So stay safe, stay hydrated, stay healthy. And you got this, girl. You got it.